Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Clock hour prize, $25 to the Ainsworth just for listening. We give stuff away at 7, 8, and 9 o'clock, and Ryan makes it simple to win.
I do like to keep it easy on the people. All you have to do is listen and dial. You'll listen for this.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Next time you hear that, be caller number.
Let's go with caller number 12.
Caller number Tom Brady. 12 for Thomas
Brady. Mohamed Sanu, actually.
Is he going to switch numbers? Is Brady going to give up 12?
I would think he would ask for it.
I think you have to if you're Mohamed Sanu, right? Like, you have to do it just to see the reaction, right? Hey,
what's gonna take
you're not going to be here next year, so why don't you just give me the 12 right now?
Tell me what it would take.
Interesting. Next time you hear that, drop the caller number 12. 913-576-7610. I will hook you up with $25 to the Ainsworth.
Tell you what, Tom's ruined it for everybody for a number of reasons, right? What if he did?
What if he gave up 12?
Yeah, he's like, oh my gosh, he's the ultimate team player. He's even giving up his number so they can acquire a wide receiver. He's like, throw your hands up and say, forget it.
Yeah.
It's over.
Adam Schefter pregame was saying what I've been saying all year is that he sold this house, the trainer sold this house, he's done. In New England.
He's looking to buy last season.
This is his last season up in New England. And so, you know, you hear that and you're just like, ugh, your stomach sinks a little bit because you're like, all right, they're winning the Super Bowl then this year, right? And then part of me is like, boy, if he leaves, all of a sudden the immense pressure on Mahomes and Reed to go out there and win a championship is dialed up. I don't know how Andy Reid does with pressure. I haven't seen him really, really win that big one yet and really do well under those pressure situations. And then we're going to have the pressure
turned up.
I feel like
we've seen him in pressure.
What?
I feel like you've seen him under pressure, and you know how he handles it.
I don't like it, though. Well, I'm trying to be nice here, Ryan.
That's the thing. You have seen it.
I know. I don't.
Want a better result.
Right.
You're just lying to yourself.
That's exactly right. I am. Yes, I am. I don't like Andy. I don't like Andy Reid under pressure. I think Mahomes can handle it, but it scares me with Andy Reid under pressure. So because the pressure, once the Patriots end up winning this thing this year, because clearly they are, and
the script or anything.
Well, because it's going to be his last year in New England, he's going to win going away, and Lottie freaking die. Bill Belichick's going to move on without Tom Brady. So they're going to give Brady and Belichick their one last go at it, right? Win the Super Bowl. Congratulations to you. And then he leaves, and then I don't know who New England's going to have as their quarterback.
Is it Matt Schaub? Isn't that who? No, that was Atlanta's backup.
Matt, he's not going to be their quarterback next year. They'll probably make a trade for Matt Ryan, and he'll turn into a good quarterback again
They'll get Tua somehow. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, Tua's got the injured ankle now.
That's all right. Saban will fix it.
Not taking an Alabama quarterback.
He'll send him to Belichick.
Stidham.
Yeah, he's not going to be the quarterback.
Yeah. Former Baylor quarterback.
Yeah, he's not going to be the quarterback.
Then Auburn.
Favre will come out of retirement.
No, but Saban will send Tua to Bill.
I don't want an Alabama quarterback.
Well, I know you don't, but it's not about you. It's about the
quarterback always has very well-shaped eyebrows.
The Saban-Belichick connection. Somehow they'll figure it out.
Tua's not going there. He's not good enough. Alabama quarterbacks don't translate well into the NFL. But I think whoever they get in will be a nice quarterback. Won't be as good, obviously, as Tom Brady. But the pressure next year, if this does happen and Brady does ride off into the sunset from the Patriots, is going to be immense pressure. There's going to be like no more excuses for the Chiefs and Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid to not get to that Super Bowl if Tom Brady is out of the way. And we've talked about the way he handles pressure. I don't like the way Andy Reid handles pressure. It makes me nervous going forward that if Tom Brady's gone, the ultimate pressure is going to be on Andy Reid, and we're still not going to get to where we need to go because Andy can't handle that pressure late in games, late in the season.
What he can handle is making the quarterback position work over the next several weeks.
Yes, he can.
I think we're confident Andy Reid can do that. Travis Kelce, confident Andy Reid can do that as well.
Coach Reid has done an unbelievable job over the course of his career setting everybody up to have their success, to have them kind of have I can't really think of the word I'm looking for, but always be in the right position to succeed. and play off of everyone's strengths. I think Coach Reed does an unbelievable job of setting people up for success.
Kelsey, yesterday on FS1.
I think when Andy Reed sets you up to be successful, he sets you up to be successful. You know what I'm saying? Like, you really are set up to be successful. But when he doesn't put his teams in position to be successful, he really doesn't put his teams in position to be successful. Like the two back-to-back losses to Indianapolis and to Houston. I don't think Andy Reid set the team up to be successful in those two games. And then running your quarterback into the line of scrimmage with a bum ankle. I don't think that's setting you up to be successful. But if you're a team right now and you're game planning against the Chiefs, you have to know that Andy Reid is going to put his team, hopefully, in the best position to be successful. And if it's me and I'm putting this team in the best position to win, I'm playing the Packers exactly like the Colts and Texans played the Chiefs. I'm stealing their playbook. I'm stealing their game plan. Let's run the ball. Let's slow it down. Let's try to keep those other offenses off the field. Let's keep Aaron Rodgers. Let's keep Kirk Cousins, those next two quarterbacks. Let's keep them on the sidelines like Indianapolis and Houston did for the Chiefs, and really like Detroit started to do for the Chiefs. You want to run the ball. You want to slow it down. You want to possess the football. I'm not eliminating the big play. I still think you take the chances with Kelsey and Hill downhill and downfield, but instead of that being 1A and 1B, it's probably 2A and 2B behind running that football and establishing time of possession and establishing that you are the ones who are going to dictate this football game. That's what I think Andy needs to do with Patrick Mahomes out. I don't think it's changing your game plan and changing who you are. I still think you take those chances and take chances on big plays, but you do it more thought out, more constructed than you would if Patrick Mahomes was out there. You still take chances on the big plays, but you still also establish the ground game and who you are and running that football and really keeping that other offense off the field, because that's your best opportunity to win right now over the next couple of weeks.
Ray and Lee Summit, this hour's winner. The 9 o'clock hour prize, $25 to the Ainsworth, just for listening. All right, it's back. Kansas and Missouri, we love it. Love the fact that they're getting back after it. You know what else we love? The trash talk. It needs to come back, right?
Absolutely.
The pettiness that needs to go between both fan bases. I miss that. I miss it. 913-576-7610. Sound off on the other side today. You're back to playing hoops. You're back to having the it's a border war.
My Facebook page is back to that dumpster fire that I've missed for 9 years.
You need to take any argument.
I think we're supposed to call it a showdown, not a war.
I understand. You can take any argument and spin it into Kansas versus Missouri. Let's get back at it. 913-576-7610. Your call's next.
Fesco in the morning.
Well, you know, when I arrived, I asked the question, you know, how did our coaches feel? We met as head coaches, certainly had individual conversations, and Bill was certainly very important to helping us get to a place to restart the rivalry. But, you know, I said the Kansas folks really needed to make this decision. So over the last 12, 14 months, I've listened to them and we've talked. And then ultimately, I think it came down to you know, our coaches and Coach Self, the rivalry was maybe slipping away, and we thought it was important for our program and for really our university and college basketball. It's a great rivalry. So, you know what, when the Kansas folks got momentum and got behind it, as I talked quietly, it felt like the right time to do it, and then we went to work with Jim to make it a reality.
Jeff Long, the AD of Kansas, joining us along with Missouri Athletic Director Jim Stirk. They joined us at 7:30 to discuss the resumption of the border showdown matchup. You can hear the full interview, 610sports.com, in the on-demand section or via the radio.com app. But it's back, Kansas and Missouri. Going to play hoops beginning next year.
Football. How gracious of KU to allow us to get this back.
Football not far behind.
Well, they all realized that, you know, college basketball has taken a turn for the worse, and they needed to find a way to get interest in college basketball again. I mean, you notice from the release, Kansas is saying, hey, season tickets are still available. We start Thursday, and the only way to get a ticket to next year's KU-MU game, which is a KU game, is to have season tickets this year for the University of Kansas. And so I think college basketball is starting to realize They are a very niche sport. And when you split up the leagues, it became even nichier. And you've got to do something to bring the casual fan.
You don't like
that's a word at all.
You don't like nichier? I kind of like it.
You got to do something to bring the casual fan back in. I checked out of college basketball years ago. I watch it in March now. I used to like college basketball. And the product has not been good. The competition has not been good. The games have not been good. But when March rolls around, you watch it. And part of the reason why I lost interest in college basketball, and really college sports in general, our teams got really good, but the splitting up of the Big 12 really affected that. And I think Kansas now is starting to feel effects that some other programs may have felt a couple of years ago. People aren't going to their games. They got to figure out a way to generate some interest, generate some revenue, generate some enthusiasm in Kansas City for not just KU, but for Missouri, for all the universities, as we're focused on Patrick Mahomes and the Royals and Sporting KC doing all these great things. You know who's not getting talked about? The colleges in this town anymore.
I mean, I don't necessarily disagree with you. I do think that it's great for fanning the flames when it comes to college sports here, especially in this area. And, I mean, let's face it, like, this is one of the better rivalries in the country when it was at its height, right?
I think so, but I'm biased.
I think I'm a little biased on that, too. But, like, yeah. I think overall, like, people were still interested and excited to watch these types of rivalries. And so I think they went away. I think you're right about it to a degree, Bob, and maybe it's the non-KU fan in me that just – I don't know. I'm a little cynical about it. It smacks of, look over here. Look over here. Like,
right,
nothing
no,
to see over
no.
there. Look over here.
Oh, you're talking about the investigation stuff? No, I don't think it's that. I think it has to do with the fact that Kansas and Missouri realize that we've lost our presence in Kansas City. I mean, how often do you turn on the radio and people are talking about Kansas and Missouri basketball or college sports in general? I mean, Patrick Mahomes is the star. The Chiefs are the star. The Royals were the stars. They were winning championships. And when everybody's excited about your professional teams, your college basketball team, when the sport really doesn't matter except for 3 weeks in March.
I mean, we talk about you when you're caught red-handed, but that's about it.
Well, yeah, when you do stuff like that, but God forbid, we're not breaking down Thursday night's game Friday on this show. I'm not even going to watch Thursday night's game. And then you took games off the television. Wait, What
game on Thursday?
Basketball. Kansas plays basketball.
Oh, that's right.
Basketball starts this
week. That's right. We just had this conversation and I forgot about
it. Basketball starts this week, of all things.
913-576-7610.
But you mix this game in, then we're going to talk about it. It generates interest, generates people being, you know, like up on what's going on with the sport. I think ultimately Kansas and Missouri, more so than any other place in the country, lost a stranglehold on a major metropolitan area because of the split. And then all the three local teams took off and started winning championships.
We've also missed out on the trash talking, which is fantastic for a number of years. 913-576-7610. Kansas, Missouri, go at it. Feel free. The lines are open for you. Both ADs acknowledge football's not far behind. Now, football takes a little bit more time to schedule because they do schedule football games for several years out in the future. So they're both going to clear dates, and this is going to happen for that, too.
Yeah, it is, and they're going to find a way to get this done. They said to us, sooner rather than later, we're not going to wait till 2032 to play the first Missouri-Kansas game. We're probably going to see something in the next couple of years out at Arrowhead to get this thing back and rolling, you know, on the football side of things, and that's good as well. We kind of need that. We need the college sports to give us something, you know, important and something exciting, and for the last couple of years, without this rivalry, we're faking rivalries with schools we don't really care about.
Kevin in Olathe, you're up first. Good morning, Kevin.
Yeah, hey, guys. I mean, what you're saying makes sense, and I can see it, but it still just reeks of desperation for, you know, on my way of thinking here, that there's no reason to legitimize the Missouri basketball program by KU playing them.
You're sure that's not legitimizing anything.
It's
playing a rivalry game that's going to get butts in the seats. College basketball pretty much sucks right now. The talent
like
is
getting
terrible.
Back with your ex-wife after a few years. It's just, no, don't. Move on. They left us. Fine. Go away.
Thanks for the phone call, Kevin. CJ.
I mean, I've rekindled some exes, and it was well worth it.
CJ in Kansas City is up next. Good morning, CJ.
Ooh, ex-girl. Y'all trying to make somebody mad this one. There's no border war. Who cares about it? Me and Muse, we're going to get smashed by KU. But I would say this. I'm coming out of the closet as a KU fan. I've been hiding. I've been liking KU, actually, for like past years. But Bill Self, the way he stood up to the NCAA, I'm going to buy a KU sweater from Rally House and show the whole world that and wear it all around my Missouri friends. Because the way he stood up to the NCAA when they tried to dog him out, yeah, he stood up, and he's the people's champion.
Mm-hmm.
So, and why are we playing football on for the KU-MU Border War? We're just going to get – y'all just trying to embarrass MU to get smashed.
No, it's, the football's coming. The athletic director's in a couple – it takes a little bit longer
it's
to
coming.
Schedule football. They'll play.
Open dates are easier to find in basketball, yeah. And they can schedule stuff on a year-by-year basis. Football's several years out. They got – both schools have contracts that they're probably waiting through, maybe even trying to get out of some. That they've agreed to play in the future in order to clear some space for this game, but they will.
Yeah, basketball is easier. You can just find a random Tuesday, schedule the game.
You got a Saturday? Yeah. I got a Saturday. All right, we already have the Sprint Center booked anyway. Do you want to come to the Sprint Center? Okay,
sure,
cool.
Done.
All right, there you go.
It's a lot easier in college basketball than it is, obviously, in college football. That's where they schedule these games so far out. You try to project years and years out, which I always find to be ridiculous, but it's easier than scrambling for games. So the football thing's going to take a little bit longer. You got to find open dates at Arrowhead as well, when the NFL doesn't have things going on, or concerts and stuff. There's a little more to work through, but I wouldn't be surprised in the next couple of months, maybe even sooner, we see a situation where they announce the return of the football game. And to CJ's point, I mean, Bill Self really is, I mean, standing up in the face of this witch hunt that is going on at the University of Kansas right now.
He called him the people's champion.
He is the people's champion. He's standing up for what's right. The NCAA ain't right.
He's probably standing up for Mizzou too now, right? Because they were having some problems with the NCAA.
He should
Everybody's
be, because
all together.
That's a witch hunt over there as
probably
well.
Probably unified him as much as anything.
Yeah. How are you guys dealing with your witch hunt? I don't know. How are you guys dealing with your witch hunt? Want to play basketball? Okay.
We'll meet in the middle. 913-576-7610. The phone lines are always open for you, especially when we can talk trash.
I also like the fact that Jeff Long said it's important for college basketball. And I think he's right. It is important to have these games for college basketball, because people look at the beginning of the year and then they look at the end of the year and they look at the 3 weeks in March and maybe feast week, and that's it.
Yeah, college basketball needs marquee matchups like this in the non-con.
Absolutely.
Or nobody
cares.
Nobody pays attention. It's a very you're just going to your team. That's why the Champions Classic is set up. That's why these Thanksgiving tournaments are good. That's why conference v conferences happened.
Right?
Yeah. To create matchups, ACC, Big Ten, SEC, Big 12, those types of things have come because college basketball needs these types of games. They need this particular one as well, like that, to have that kind of marquee non-conference matchup.
Look what Duke North Carolina does every time they play. People get excited about that. People like those kind of matchups. It's a lot better than watching Kansas take on TCU.
Well, granted, that's a conference matchup, so that's a different beast. But they do need more of these non-conference ones to get some juices flowing. Yeah, it'd be great if they were playing in the conference. They can't. This is the next best thing. I like where it's set, too. I'm guessing it's going to be about this time frame every year.
Yep.
The first one's playing December 12th of 2020, and it's after the start of the season. For the Kansas perspective, you get that first Champions Classic game. You get the Thanksgiving tournament, whatever that is, and then a nice – juicy non-con game before the start of league play. Same for Mizzou. You get some heat before you begin conference play. So I like where it's set to playing. I'm guessing it's going to stay probably mid-December.
Probably about the same time of year.
Your chance to win $1,000. Be listening for that keyword coming up in just a couple of minutes. What will Mahomes' loss mean for your fantasy Chiefs? We'll discuss with Paul Charchi and fanball.com next.
Fesco in the morning.
It's 1,000 on the 30s. Text the word AMBER to 72881. AMBER, AMBER, AMBER to 72881. You could be the $1,000 cash winner in the national contest. 610 Sports Radio is the only sports radio station in Kansas City, giving you a chance to win up to $8,000 each weekday. Just listen on the 30s from 9 to 5. Your next chance coming up at 10:30. Complete rules at 610sports.com. AMBER, AMBER, AMBER. To 72881 for your chance to win $1,000. KU and MU getting back at it. Basketball to start. Football to follow. Probably other sports as well. Maybe some other sports before football gets done. But both athletic directors joined us earlier in the show today. You can check that out in the on-demand section, 610sports.com, via the radio.com app as well. Time to chat a little fantasy football. Paul Charchi and fanball.com joins us. And Paul, are we supposed to dump now or bench all of our non-Mahomes Chiefs for the foreseeable future?
Well, it's not quite that, is it? But I do think sort of the secondary guys, you know, like DeMarcus Robinson, get to, you know, they've got a lot less appeal now, unfortunately. And, you know, I think, you know, those guys were hit and miss anyway. And part of it is, you know, to the credit of the Chiefs, and, you know, they don't care about our fantasy teams. They just got a deep stable of competent receivers, and that sometimes works against fantasy players because we like it when everything runs through one guy. And, you know, you look at how great Kareem Hunt was and from a fantasy standpoint, and then you look at how tepid the running back rotation has been for fantasy owners is another example of that. So, yeah, it's unfortunate, a little disappointing that it's worked out this way, honestly.
Well, I think when you look at what the Chiefs have to offer right now with Tyreek Hill back to full strength, Travis Kelce there, obviously we mentioned Patrick Mahomes is out with Matt Moore sitting on the bench. Do you just shy away from games like that normally, or does it change up because it is Travis Kelce and it is Tyreek Hill, guys that can still go out there and make plays?
Yeah, I think those are guys that are still going to get very, very startable grades in most cases. If you're going to keep starting those guys, because they're so good, you know, if you know, unless you've just got zero functionality at the quarterback position, like a little bit like what the Steelers went through. They had Juju Smith-Schuster, who's great, but Duck Hodges could not make him fantasy viable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so unless you reach a point where you just got a quarterback who can't throw a spiral, then those guys retain some value, and I think they're going to be startable.
Is Mohamed Sanu available in many leagues? And if so, would you run out and grab him immediately?
I'm so glad you brought that up. Right, so today's it's a big waiver wire day, and Sanu's an exciting story. He got traded to the Patriots, and every time somebody gets traded to the Patriots, everybody's like, "I want you, I'm that guy. I want that. I want to be part of the Patriots." Well, but let's consider this for just a second and take the emotion out of it. There's a very real stance that Mohamed Sanu is less valuable as a fantasy player as a Patriot than he was as a Falcon.
Hmm.
First, the Falcons threw the most passes in the NFL, 41 per game. That's not going to happen anymore because the Patriots are never playing from behind. And maybe even more importantly, Sanu is a slot receiver. He runs 77% of his routes from the slot. New England's got a pretty good slot receiver, Julian Edelman. You know, he's going to have a hard time even getting on the field, I think. And, you know, they'll have to go full receiver sets for him to get on the field. He's got to learn a new offense, new schemes, new terminology, new routes, you know, all that stuff. So I just, you know, and what's more, Patriots spread out their scoring so much. 11 different players have already scored offensive touchdowns for the Patriots. How does Snoopy fit into that 11? I just think there's a lot of reason to show a ton of caution here. People are going to go crazy for Sanu on the waiver wire. Don't get sucked into it.
Another one of those guys you dangle out there to trade with somebody, right?
Yes. I mean, if you've got him rostered, go throw him, go up, throw out a bunch of silly trades and see who's emotional enough to want to go get him as a Patriot.
What about Sam Darnold? Have you ever had a quarterback on your roster that sees ghosts?
Oh, God. I know. Bad week to be mic'd up. Man, you know, next time. Maybe you don't let your second-year kid coming off of mono be mic'd up because you end up, you know, exposing that kind of stuff. But I like the fact that it was honest, and, you know, he's still young, and it's okay to see ghosts. Here's what you need to know. Here comes a series of games for Sam Darnold, especially if you're thinking long-term. You're in a dynasty league or an empire league. You're thinking future years or even just second half of the season. Listen to the schedule he's got for Darnold. It's the easiest second-half schedule in the league. He's got Jacksonville this coming week, and Jacksonville's defense has become bottom half of the league. Then the Dolphins, Giants, Redskins, Raiders that just gave up 6 touchdowns, Bengals, Dolphins. I mean, you know, I know that Darnold was awful, awful last night, but the schedule's so good. He's going to have good games the rest of the way, and it's a good – I'm buying low on Sam Darnold, both this year and long-term.
I mean, if you're in a keeper league, let's say, are you buying low on Teddy Bridgewater now and stashing him and saving him for the future for what could be down in New Orleans based on this 5-game stretch that he's had?
Well, if I knew Breeze was going to retire after this year, yes. And Bridgewater, if I'm correct, is a free agent after this season, so maybe he's starting somewhere else. The problem with Bridgewater, and he's played, you know, he's done everything they've asked, you know, wonderfully, and they've catered an offense to him and his arm limitations. But as your listeners know better than any other, when you've got a strong armed quarterback that opens up the whole field, great things can happen for fantasy. And Teddy's the exact opposite. He's just the ultimate game manager with dump off passes and short stuff and high percentage stuff. And you know, it's great. He moves chain, but it doesn't always translate to fantasy points. So I'm just really not on board.
any productivity you see this week on the waiver wire that could be hot?
Yeah, there's a couple of guys I do like on the waiver wire. If you're looking for a quarterback, you know, maybe not Teddy Bridgewater, a couple of guys. One, Mason Rudolph's got the Dolphins this week, and he comes back to the Steelers. He's cleared the concussion protocol. And Mason Rudolph actually looked pretty good. You could go to him. How about a couple of speculative plays? Cam Newton's coming back sometime pretty soon. Not this week, but maybe the week after that. Guys, I know Kyle Allen has played well, but the Panthers organization's got so much invested in Cam Newton. They got to give him a crack back at starting at some point. You could go back to Cam Newton. And a lot of people think that Andy Dalton's going to get benched for Ryan Finley, a fourth-round rookie who had a fantastic preseason and training camp. So they think there might be some movement there. Mark Walton's your new starting running back for the Dolphins, or at least the guy doing most of the work. And Ty Johnson for the Lions is going to be the starter with Kerryon Johnson out. And Ty Johnson didn't do anything last week, but it was the Vikings. It was a brutal matchup, and he ran for 9 yards per carry last year at Maryland. So you know there is opportunity for Ty Johnson to splash a little bit in better matchups.
Anybody you think we should sell right now?
Could sell high on Aaron Rodgers coming off a 6-touchdown game when he averaged 1.1 touchdowns in his previous 11 games.
Wow.
You know, opportunities don't get much better than that. And, you know, there are going to be a lot of people that are going to maybe overlook all the struggles that he had. You know, not getting help from his receivers outside of Devontae Adams for the most part. So, yeah, I think there is an opportunity to sell high on Aaron Rodgers right now.
Even playing the Chiefs defense this week.
Hey, your secondary's much improved. I started working on my rankings for him, and I'm like, you know, this is a really, really materially much better secondary. Tre'Davious Ward looks like he can play the position. I haven't said that about a Chiefs cornerback since Marcus Peters' rookie year. It's starting to come together a little bit for your squad. So we got to be a lot more careful about just automatically starting guys against the Chiefs.
Paul Charchi and Fanball.com. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
I don't know if I'm ready to hear good things about the secondary just yet.
No, I think I need a couple more weeks on that.
Or a true passing team.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, they look better because the teams are running on them. You know, like they're running on this Chiefs defense right now. So the secondary looks better because they haven't had many opportunities to really have to throw the football. And the last opportunity we got to see him throw the football was Joe Flacco, and he stinks. So it's tough to say the secondary is back. Now, you go down and you hold Aaron Rodgers to 1.1 touchdowns in this game like he's been averaging his previous 11.
That would be fantastic.
All right, now we got something to talk about. Now we got something to build upon. Now we got a legit challenger to New England, right? But if Aaron Rodgers goes out there and tosses 3 or 4 touchdowns, which is kind of what I'm expecting on this defense, then you're probably going to have these same conversations that the secondary is not where it needs to be at this point in the season.
Big finish, and did they really turn a corner? Next.
Fesco in the morning.
Did the Chiefs defense really turn the corner? We asked Damian Hughes, former Chief, joined us earlier in the show.
I think it's a little bit more of Denver, and I'm not quite sold on the Chiefs defense yet. And I say that because it was such a drastic difference. I mean, it was a 180-degree change from what we had seen up until that point that I don't know yet if it's going to be, you know, somewhere in the middle. I mean, somewhere in the middle is exactly what we've been dreaming of since January. So I'll take it for now. But I'm going to lean a little bit more on the fact that it was Joe Flacco and the Denver Broncos more so than this Chiefs defense until I see it maybe 2 or 3 more times.
2 or 3 more times, the man says.
I don't know if they can get to that level 2 or 3 more times.
No, I think that's tough to get to, Josh. But 9 sacks in an NFL game is really, really good.
Also, I'm not setting that as, oh, well, that's your that's the bar you strive to. They were pretty good, pretty, pretty good on Thursday night. Just give me marginally better. If you can take that one and that's your – that's your high water defensive mark, but build off of it in terms of confidence. And you needed that one.
Yeah.
To jumpstart you playing better defense the rest of the way. I'm good with that. I feel like that we might have seen their best performance. I don't know you're going to get a 9-sack game again. I don't know if you're going to get a quarterback to quit the game.
They went from 24th in the league in sacks to 5th in the league in sacks because of that 9-sack.
Yeah.
Game. Like they climbed the charts.
So, I need to see more.
That's where stats can be inflated a little bit.
I need
bit.
To see more of it, but I'm not going to make them live up to the bar of that game.
No, I think that's tough. So going forward, like, what's an acceptable defensive performance now for the Chiefs? Because for me, an acceptable defensive performance is 4 or less touchdowns, 350 or less fewer yards. Yeah, don't you think that's an acceptable performance? I mean, if you hold the teams to 4 or less touchdowns, that's 28 or less points, you're probably going to win every game here on out.
I think it needs to be lower
off.
Than that, though.
Oh, you do?
What are they giving up on the season right now?
I don't know.
They're giving up more than 28?
25? Well, no, they're giving up 33 going into that Denver game, I think, or something like that. So, I mean, I don't know. I think 4 or less touchdowns, I think that's a fair effort. If you can hold the opposition to 4 or less touchdowns every single game, with this offense, when it's healthy, you're going to give yourself a chance to win every single
football
game. So
you're saying a 28-point game by the defense is now the...
That's high.
That's the bar.
That's high.
Yeah. You think that's too high?
Yes, I do. Yes.
You really?
Yes.
Yes.
Really? You don't think the offense can outscore 28 points? Because I think going
into... That's not what I said.
I think going into every game, most teams are looking, as we talked about this last week or the week before, most teams are looking at a minus 30 when they step on the field with the Chiefs. I mean, that's kind of where you're looking at. You got to get the 30 if you're going to give yourself a fighting chance to win a game against the Chiefs that we know, that we've seen over the last 2 years. So I think holding teams to 28 or less, I think that's a great recipe for success, especially with this defense. Like, I think if I would have said 3 touchdowns or less, you guys would have been like, wow, man, that's not a lot of room for error. You know, like I think.
No, I feel like that's probably about right.
3.
Like,
really?
right in that ballpark. Like, when we talk about all the time, bend, don't break. Like, this team has bent and bent and bent and bent and bent, and then they just break, like, right at the end. Like, I would like to see them maybe start holding teams out of the end zone and just hold them to 3 points.
Well, they did that against Houston and against Indianapolis. They didn't let them into the end zone. They still found a way to lose those games because of the way that those teams approach those games by controlling that ball.
Chiefs are 21.4 points per game right now.
On defense.
Yeah. So they're holding. So yeah, that's.
I feel like just number one. Let's get to third down. Let's talk about getting to third down, and then let's get off the field when you get to third down. Like, those are the big things that are going to be markers for improvement in this Chiefs defense. And I know that Dana touched on it a little bit, and we've heard about it throughout the week about like the interior line play and Nottie's stepping up, and a lot of these guys are, you know, Kalen Saunders, another guy that you know is stepping up. And so I would like to see some of these guys. I think Armani Watts had a nice game last week. I think we've seen Juan Thornhill over the last couple of weeks have some pretty nice games as well. So I would just like to see some consistency. And I even touched on it yesterday with you guys that, to me, I want to see this defense be a reason you win games and not lose games, right? And, like, that's been the biggest thing.
Or
the
win
first...
in spite of the defense.
Right, like, I think that's been the biggest thing is, like, man, you won, but your defense was terrible. Or, like, man, we just hope our defense doesn't lose us a game. I don't think you're going to have a lot of these opportunities, especially over the next couple of weeks with the Packers and the Vikings rolling in town. But, like, with those guys, you know, you need to show at least the ability to say, hey, whenever we need to be held accountable for what we are going to do, we're going to step up and do the job. And, I mean, you've got guys like the Honey Badger and Frank Clark who are supposed to be your leaders and are supposed to be these big impact guys. And you've seen some of that out of Tyrann Mathieu, but you haven't seen a lot of it out of Frank Clark. Like, those are the types of things that I would say are marked improvements and are need to start being the bar for the defense rather than just, you know, saying, you know, let's not go out there and try to lose the game for it.
I see what you're saying, manageable points,
yeah,
though. I mean, 28 would not be
manageable.
28 would not, no. I mean, that puts you fourth worst in the NFL. Can't be doing 28 points a game. They're at 21 now. Like, stay there. I think, to me, it's, though, not get gashed in the run game. That's where I'm going to see the improvement. Like, did it get to 5 of buck 80? I think it was 4, right? They had the buck 80 or more. That has to stop. I'm not saying you give up 79 yards rushing a game from here on out, but
no.
If you stay in a situation where it looks like teams can run the ball but not cripple you by running the ball, I think it's going to be an eye test type of thing for that, and probably a numbers test too.
Sure,
you're not going to be in the 150 range. You can be down in the 120s for the remainder of the year. Okay, you're doing something defensively and not look like you're just a liability. I think it's still based on, to me, defensively, on a lot of eye tests.
All right.
Not so much the numbers test, but 28 is too high for scoring. But I think you're saying get to a manageable level where you feel like you can still outscore
people. Is 24 manageable? Three touchdowns and a field goal?
Yeah,
is
that, but that's
is
on the worst pace they're on game? Now. I mean, that's worse than they are now.
Yeah.
I mean, I just feel like that kind of still letting them off the hook, though, right? Like
I'm trying to be realistic, though. Like, I'm looking at what they've done through seven games and going, okay, as Therese said, we're not probably going to be able to make a trade, get somebody in here that's going to be an impact player, right?
They're just over 21 through seven games now.
Right. And so I'm looking
still get better,
get a little bit better, you know, grow in this defense. Look at what we have right now. It's not that impressive through the first seven games. Last week was really, really good. So it's somewhere in the middle. And I think with an offense that can score, like I just feel like I don't want to, like, I think if we said to this defense, you can only give up 21 points, that's putting a lot of pressure on them. I feel like for where they are right now. But if you say, yeah, you get some wiggle room there, maybe be a little more aggressive, and if you get beat on a play, so what, our offense can pick you up. That's why I look at those four touchdowns as kind of that level for me. I don't know. Maybe I'm oversimplifying or not giving the defense enough credit. But I think if they only give up four touchdowns, I think they have an opportunity to win every football game because of the offense as good as it is.
Big finish.
It's time for the big finish.
Wait a minute. What's happening to my special purpose?
I'll have what she's having.
Brought to you by EverNewClinics.com.
What the heck was going on last night in the Monday night game? Patriots all over the Jets, 33-0. They turned over Sam Darnold five times, so much so that he said this.
Seeing ghosts.
He was mic'd up for the game and told everybody he was seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
Like ghosts? Seeing ghosts?
That can't be good, right?
How do you recover from that? Is that going to be the moment of Sam Darnold's career that we look back on and go, boy, he never recovered after that?
After he saw those figurative ghosts?
Could be. This could be a game that breaks you.
No, like, I'm being serious about that. Yeah, no, guys have games that break them and they never recover.
This feels like one that breaks you. Like,
this was
his
Ivan Drago game?
Yeah, the beginning of the end. So much so they've taken the video down, right, Ryan?
He dies.
They've taken the video down of him saying,
I don't know. I was unable to find video when I went to go roll the sound in today. It was there like an hour ago.
Now it's gone?
Seeing ghosts.
We got it.
You get that grainy, crappy version.
Huh. His head coach Adam Gase on seeing ghosts.
You know, when we go back and look at this, he's not going to be happy. He probably was feeling like guys were coming free when they might not have been. You know, it's tough. That's what playing against these guys. If you don't pick some of this stuff up early, they're going to keep bringing it, and they're going to find different ways to bring it, and then it's just going to get bad from there, which it did.
Did Gase just accuse him of having happy feet?
Well, he's got crazy eyes, so I mean, it's just...
How could you not have happy feet?
But did he just accuse him of having happy feet?
A little bit.
That's a shot at his quarterback right there.
It's a great movie, little jumpy. By the way. Happy feet.
Happy feet.
Love that movie.
Little jumpy is Sam Darnold. He describes what seeing ghosts meant to him.
When I talk to the coaches, I just got to be, you know, straight up. And, you know, for me, I just got to see the field a lot better. That's kind of what that means. And, you know, just It was a rough day out there, rough night out there, and obviously I got to be better and learn from the mistakes, but we will get better.
So if you don't...
Crazy eyes.
If you don't... Seeing ghosts.
Seeing ghosts.
I got it. That all adds up to me.
Okay. Patriots Kyle Van Noy on Darnold.
Oh, man. That's the boogie man. It's real. He really said that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Oh, man.
Wow, you're not really supposed to own up to that, right?
He saw the boogeyman.
I got nightmares of Kyle Van Noy already, and we don't play them till week 14. He's dominated this year.
I don't know who had a better encounter with ghosts, though, Sam Darnold or Bobby Brown.
I moved into this house. I bought this mansion in Georgia. So this was a really, really spooky place. But yes, one time I woke up and, yeah, a ghost. I was being mounted by a ghost. I wasn't high.
That was my next question.
I wasn't high.
That was my next question.
Wasn't
were you tripping?
High at all.
Were you tripping?
No, I was not tripping.
You've had quite a life.
I've had some crazy situations.
So Bobby Brown had sex with a ghost, which...
Oh, you've had quite a life.
It's a great comeback.
I wasn't high.
Seeing ghosts.
Were you tripping? Wow, you've had quite a life.
I think Darnold would rather be having sex with ghosts today than
how about more on seeing them. Like, what were the ghosts like? Tell me more about what the situation was about.
You've had quite a life.
Oh, you have quite a life.
Feels like you're just really throwing. Well, I mean, you weren't expecting to sit down and have him tell you that, and I think it probably just threw them off. Like, yeah, quite a life.
I wasn't high.
Were you tripping?
It's Bobby Brown. He definitely was high.
Were you tripping, sir?
I wasn't high.
Okay, but were you tripping?
You've had quite a life.
Wait, Jim.
So, Mr. Darnold, you saw ghosts yesterday on the sideline?
That's correct.
That? Bobby Brown's just like, oof, at least I didn't try to sleep with you.
What was that like, Mr. Darnold, seeing ghosts? Like, did you see ghosts of Vince Wilfork?
Oh, man, that's the boogie man. It's real. He really said that?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, how about Van Noy? He really said that?
Oh, man.
Oh. Like, was that matchup one between the Jets and the Patriots this year? You know what's going to happen on the field going forward with this guy. Everybody's going to be going up to him going, boo, boo, boo.
I'm your boogeyman this week.
I mean, he's just, that's right there.
They're going to be making ghost noises in the background.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh. What we saw right there was the beginning of the end of Sam Darnold's career.
Broken.
They broke him.
Maybe he was just trying to get into the Halloween spirit. Did you ever think about that?
No.
I mean, you know, these are figurative ghosts, right?
They were not friendly ghosts. They were not the friendly ghosts. There's a big finish brought to you by Evernew, Kansas City's first intimate health clinic for men and women. Proven results for good, very good. Visit EverNewClinics.com.
I want to suck your blood.
That's EVRNUClinics.com.
Coming up, Monster Mash as they run out of the tunnel.
On Show and Vern, the rivalry may be back, but will it be as good as it once was? They'll discuss next.
Talk to you later.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.